With Andy Grammer, fine by me on KCHA. Good morning, Kay Winkleman.
Good morning, Chris Berg. Happy Wednesday.
That's right. It is hump day today. Week almost halfway over. We're getting there. It's 63 degrees downtown Cheryl City. Sunny. It's going to be a beautiful day today with a high topping out near 80. Being joined by the one, the only, Steve Beers, Cheryl City's administrator. Administrator, which kind of is the same thing, isn't it? You have town superintendents, town city administrators.
Some people call this role of Steve Deers city superintendent, if I'm not mistaken.
So I'm not totally wrong.
No. I call those all sorts of things. So. I'll go with that.
That's probably the nicest one, right?
Yeah, hopefully. That's not so bad. I'll go with that.
Well, we have lots to talk about. Of course, every time you come in, we always have a lot to talk about. But let's start off with the ambulance AMR service. First responders, essential services. How's that going?
Yeah, so a lot of talk about this lately, and we're working towards it's a couple of different things that we're working on here. First of all, we have our ongoing agreement with American Medical Response, AMR. They provide ambulance coverage for the city and Floyd County as a whole. And we're coming up here this July. We'll be looking at entering into a new contract. So we've started that kind of that contract negotiations piece. But the other part of it is what's pushing that along is the discussion around the essential service levy, which is something that just recently changed about a year ago at the state level. The state provided a way to for entities, counties mainly, pass what they call an essential service levy, which is a levy to help fund EMS services, because there's been such a change in EMS the last several years. We've talked about this several times, how just 4 years ago, the city and the county were getting paid by AMR to provide service, and then that's changed to where now we were able, it was going to be $400,000 or something, and now we've negotiated through it, and we provide space and area at our fire station. And so, long story short, there's a $200,000 deficit this year that the city and county are splitting, and so that's really hard to come up with that extra funding to do that. And so the state passed this essential service levy, and actually they modified it so that it's more than just 5 years. You can go up to 15 years in term, and so it gives you some more long-term stability to be able to have a funding source for these services. And so, long story short, we've been working through, looking to pass that levy on a county level to be able to, continue to fund these operations. And so part of that process has been trying to determine, what's that levy need for the city and county for the ambulance service? And then what do the area first responders need as well? Because, there's first responders, in the area, outer reaches of the county, certainly, that also need assistance, with funding and just trying to keep equipment and volunteers and stuff going. So we've put a lot of work in lately, the last couple of months, to kind of come up with what that amount is going to be looking like going forward, and so the county knows what to ask for on that levy. And so while we've been at it, we've been also looking at let's say we choose not to redo with AMR. If we were going to do this on our own as an in-house operation, what would that entail? So we spent quite a bit of time trying to figure out starting up our own ambulance service and what that would look like. And so while that process is still ongoing, what we've based that ongoing need from the levy on is the projections from AMR and for those shortfalls going forward. And so you'll hear a lot of talk about on that. I know the there's an EMS service levy advisory council that was formed to oversee that levy rate and present that information to the County Board of Supervisors, and they just met on Monday to kind of talk about what that is going to look like. And so I think by the end of August here, the 29th, if I'm not mistaken, the county will make that determination on that funding level, and that will be what will be going on the ballot in November, because it's a public vote to see if they'll pass that essential service levy. So a lot of work around ambulance and EMS and all that stuff as usual.
And it's such unnecessary service.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine not having that service. There's no way. No way.
So, all these years I thought it was essential anyway.
I mean it is. It is essential. So, yeah.
Yep, for sure.
Okay. This second topic is complete foreign language to me, so I'm not touching it with a 10-foot pole.
It says North Main Street.
I know, but it's you, PPF you use North of Maine, comfier sale of the blah, 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 blah.
Prairie Farms.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
Right. So, as you know, the chicken plant is reopening, and Pure Prairie Farms is the chicken plant owner up there, and they're working towards getting startup of the other their facility up there. I know the bird pandemic thing has kind of played into some of the delays, you know, because they're having trouble, you know, getting some chicks and all that. But sounds like they're going to be in a spot to get open up in operational sometime in October is the way it sounds. So, but we've had a lot of talk about, you know, how do we make this work? How do we facilitate this? Because we've had this discussion about that facility, right? I mean, it's bound on, you know, two sides by railroad, the third side by a road. And that the facility is not just, you know, it can't operate at the level it needs to for whoever's in there to be successful. So that's why we've looked at, you know, vacating Main Street so that they could build closer out to the road. So their plan is to build out to the sidewalk, right? They won't go past the sidewalk. But then that street out there would be used as a loading dock area as they build out their packaging areas, their distribution, and then their employee areas also. So we talked about vacating that street, leasing it to them, rerouting Maine, you know, across Tulane to North Grand, as we've done initially here, you know, the temporary crossover. We've talked about, that last block of Lane Street, we've actually taken steps to rename that Maine. So Maine actually does go through to Grand, so it should be, you know, easy to find off of Grand. We're gonna work on putting like a mini, it's almost like a half wake finding sign, half city entry sign kind of there at that point that says Main Street, kind of points people in that direction. So that should help with direction. We've temporarily, you know, put in striping and signage and whatnot that redirects traffic over there to help with that change. We're gonna be looking to do some additional things for traffic calming, per se, to help guide people as far as lane changes and turning. And we knew we were going to have to cut some of the corners up there, and some of them are kind of tight turns, and so we're working to do that as well. But the discussion that we're having now is, you know, that stretch of Main Street in front of the building, we talked about leasing it with the idea of, okay, you know, we'll lease it to them, see how things go, and then, you know, if for whatever reason they're not successful, we would get that street back. Yeah, as we've gone through and talked about this, you know, and we've committed to rerouting Main Street, so, you know, Main Street will be rerouted, and so in a couple of years, if we were to look at the lease option, what is the point of getting that section of Main Street back? And honestly, whether it be Pure Prairie Farms or whoever it is coming down the road, they're going to need that space to be successful. So, do we consider selling of that piece of property in front of the building as opposed to leasing it? So, we had our initial discussion on that last week. We'll have more discussions on that going forward here. So it might be a sale, it might be a long-term lease, but, you know, Pure Prairie Farms is putting another $35 million into that building. And so to be able to, you know, secure credit and financing, you know, their lenders are going to want to know that they have access to that front of the building. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that certainly is part of it too. So we're going to be looking at that. We're going to be talking about that upcoming workshops and meetings about, you know, how that will come together. But there'll have to be some type of either sale or long-term lease with that piece of property in front of Maine. And so in front of the chicken plant that was Maine. So, you know, we're planning on, you know, rerouting that street permanently. That's going to fall into the 2024 building season. So, you know, as you recall, the city, we acquired that property, which is Cal's Auto there on the corner a couple of years ago, knowing that this would, you know, likely be coming down the road. And so the street reconfiguration would include something that would, you know, take out that corner building, kind of smooth that corner off, and really kind of permanently put in an intersection there. And so we have some current initial designs of what we may be looking at, but again, that's going to be, you know, not next building season, but the building season after that, when we're able to, you know, get that done. And so that project will be part of a larger Main Street project. We're going to be looking at doing what they call a mill and fill on probably, you know, a good portion of the entire stretch of Main Street here, from, I would guess, probably the bridge all the way up I haven't talked to my engineer specifically about those details, but that's my assumption. So we would mill off the current surface and put in a new surface so we, you know, we have a smoother road here and are able to reconfigure that up at the north end. But that's kind of what we're looking at and what we're talking about, and why we're talking about that. So, I mean, we do have, you know, that section of Main Street that we're, you know, going to sell or lease to Pure Prairie Farms. We do have infrastructure that goes through there. So, you know, we would certainly, you know, keep easements through there to have the ability to, you know, access those and repair as needed. So, you know, there won't be any vertical infrastructure that goes there. But, yeah, kind of an update on what we're looking at for Main Street and North Main and PPF.
All right. Okay. Got that one going for you. Let's talk about housing projects here in the community.
Yeah, so a few different things going on the housing realm. Never enough, it seems. But one of the things that we just learned here recently was, you know, Parkside, the development up there at Old Jefferson Elementary. You know, that is getting built out. Four more lots have been acquired and building permits for two more sets of twin homes. So two twin homes, total of four living units, will be built here yet late summer. And then the builder, Crown Point Builders, is looking to do two more additional lots. So another set of twin homes on that Parkside Drive, and then another single family on 9th. So that's moving forward, getting filled up, you know, as we work on that. We've got the Berkwood Senior Living Project out there by the hospital is currently on hold. And that is due to just, you know, pricing of everything. The prices they got back to construct that facility were going to be, I think, yeah, almost twice what their initial estimates were going to be. So they're holding off on that to let things stabilize a little bit and hope to be revisiting that in a year or so. So we're not going to see that here in the near future, but hopefully sometime not too far down the road. Then we have the North Grand building, right? We've got Sean Fouch and those guys they've been doing demo work in there to prep that building. They have not done any work to construct or finish out the units. So, you know, they're looking at about 37 up to 40, depending on what they ultimately decide to do, total units in the old middle school. So studio, one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom on all three floors. But as far as when that starts, you know, they've had delays in other projects, and so they're finishing those up. And they promised me that we are the next one on the list. They're coming our way next. So that one will be coming down the road. Union House, of course, we know down just across the street here, that's actually full. That's good to hear. So they're full up. We've been working on, you know, our part of our city nuisance abatement program. You know, we've been acquiring homes and the ones that are the worst of the worst and demolishing them. And so now we have at least three buildable lots in town. And so, you know, one of the things we've talked about a little bit is the Homes for Iowa or Housing 360. There's a couple different groups doing this, but you can get, you know, what they call workforce housing, or housing that's, you know, priced around the $175,000 to $250,000 range, which is very cheap housing. It's cost effective, maybe I should say, you know, to get like a three bedroom house in with either a garage or a basement or some combination of, you know, we're going to be looking into those options and maybe utilizing some of those vacant lots. If we can find some places to build, that would be helpful, because, you know, aside from some major extensions, we don't have a lot of areas for new housing development. But we're also trying to be very creative on that as well. So we have an area housing group that's kind of just kind of reformulated here in the last couple of weeks, and they have kind of a renewed and refreshed sense of purpose for how to address the housing shortage. Because even with those housing things going on, we still need more, and we still need single family. We still could use some apartments as well. So, you know, there's a need there. It's just how do you get that done? Because it's just, you know, it's hard. It's expensive to build them. You know, there's not, comparatively speaking, there's not a lot of taxes generated off of them. So the incentive that the city can give only goes so far. So how do you fill that gap to get builders to want to build? And so that's the trick. And so we're trying to get that figured out.
Okay. So we are being joined by City Administrator Steve Deers from Terrell City. Do you have any other questions, Kay Winkleman?
One more topic quickly. We have about 2 or 3 minutes. Destination Iowa grant.
Yes. So this is the grant that came out here April. It was about April. There's $100 million that the state was putting out in grants, possibilities for tourism, for shovel-ready projects. So basically, this Destination Iowa is a project that you know your community could submit an application, and it's a 60-40 match. So I think the 40% is on the city. I think the state provides the 60. Maybe it's the other way around.
Maybe that's what you're hoping, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. I think it is a 60-40 where the city would be 40. But so basically, you have to have projects that are pretty much shovel-ready and ready to go that would help encourage tourism. And so we've talked about a number of different ideas of how we could potentially apply and utilize that funding. And the one that seems to be the most shovel-ready and ready to go is the area up there off of 11th Avenue. And, you know, that includes the depot project. You know, that includes the trail extension. You know, this last winter, the city was awarded a TAP grant, which is Transportation Alternatives Program through the state, which funds trails. And so that's a project that's funded to occur here in 2024 as well. And that would extend the trail that currently ends at F Street over to North Grand. So we've gotten funding on that project already. We got the depot project that got moved, and they're looking at their second phase of construction. And we've talked with them about public restrooms and trailheads and things. And so based on the funding that we already have on some of the projects going on there, and you know, we thought that was going to be our a really good opportunity for getting this Destination Iowa funding. So if we can leverage the funds that we're spending up there and to do additional things to help beautify and make that area more attractive, I think that'd be a great thing. So we're focusing in on that. We still have a long way to go to kind of get that to the goal line and get that application sent in, but it's a first come first serve funding from the state. They've got like four different categories to split up that $100 million. I know a good chunk went to the Field of Dreams, and so there's other communities that are applying for different things, and so we hope to have our stake in there as well.
Okay.
Plenty of things happening here in Charles City. For more details, go to cityofcharlescity.org. Thanks a lot, Steve. You want to introduce your song?
Oh, sure. Yep. So after almost 2 years, we've come full circle on Jason Isbell, at least the ones I think I can play on the radio. So what I've requested today is one of my favorites. It was actually one of my first favorite songs of his. It's called Something More Than Free, and I know it's a favorite of my wife's as well, so I thought we'd play that one today.
Awesome.